This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:43. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking today about public transport because earlier we were discussing fuel subsidies and how if we did away with them, then perhaps we might have more money to funnel towards improving public transport. And we're taking that idea and running with it. How can we improve public transport in the country? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us on the line now is Professor Dr. Ahmad Farhan Mohamed Sadullah, Professor of Transportation Engineering at USM. Prof, always good to hear from you.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. So first of all, can you give us your take on how you think we've progressed in terms of improving public transport, particularly under the Pakatan Harapan administration?
Okay, when the previous government came into office, the first thing that they did was to abolish SPAD. And we have been waiting for any new direction as far as public transport is concerned from the new agency, which is APAD. And I don't think we got any direction. So in a way, if you were to ask what has happened for the past 2.5 years, I think it's more on the implementation of what was planned by SPAD previously. Which I think is quite sad because under SPAD, we had a very strong will. We had a public transport master plan. And I think if we were able to deliver what was planned, I think at least we will get some progress as far as public transport is concerned.
So there have also been calls to put more funds into or to subsidise public transport instead of fuel. And this has echoed back now for, I think, a few years, especially given that people in lower income groups are more likely to depend on public transport anyway instead of private vehicles. What's your take on that?
Okay, I agree there must be some form of subsidisation because from experience across the world, the public transport industry is rather difficult for it to be self-sustaining just because of the elasticity, the demand elasticity of public transport user is not as sensitive as it is for private transport. So generally, yes, there should be a policy of that nature. But I think it's not a simple solution to the problem because public transport requires planning, requires the operational side, and it also requires the sustainability of the industry. So all this requires some form of governance. And I think the government of the day must do it properly because it involves not only matters at federal level, but more so matters at the local level. So therefore, any governance setup that we bring up must be able to, you know, integrate between intercity public transport and urban public transport, which primarily involve the local authorities. So I think if we were to reflect on the purpose of SPAD, that was one of the purpose. And I think before we can talk about any subsidization and whatnot, I think the planning must be there because the supply must be there. You know, the demand is ready, but there's not enough supply of public transport in many places, urban and rural across the country. But again, without the right supply, we can't even talk about having the demand for public transport. So I think we need to quickly get our act together with the new government to find a sustainable solution towards public transport because it cannot be done in a short while. It requires long-term planning and then making sure that the culture of public transport is built and then only we can talk about sustainability. And of course, having it being subsidized will definitely help the whole process.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you bring up this issue of supply because This question is really important, I think. What are the main obstacles right now that are standing in the way of implementing effective public transportation systems? So planning is, of course, key to all of this. What are the main things standing in our way of having a world-class public transportation system and network?
I think it's the business model that we adopt to prepare the supply. And I think we have been using land value as part of the business model. And I think that has worked in some way with the Klang Valley public transport system, especially MRT and so on. I think Penang is trying to get their system up, but with a lot of challenges. And I think using the similar land value proposition as so-called collateral to or as you know as a way of financing the system, but I think without proper planning, we will not be able to identify the appropriate system to the need of the to the locality, you know. So that's why it requires a proper planning, and I think first of all we need to ensure that there is a proper body that does this and look at it comprehensively. And I think we should not, you know, reinvent the wheel. We had already a public transport master plan for the country, so I suggest why not refer back to that plan and try to deliver it as smart as possible. And the key is, I remember 10 years ago when we started the NTRA initiative under the previous two government, we actually agreed that we need to provide enough supply first before we can actually get public transport high enough.
And I believe we have Prof back on the line. Hi, how's the line?
Hi, sorry. I don't know where I was cut off, which point was I making.
That's okay. I think the line just started getting incredibly bad. So we were talking, I think, a little bit about just priorities, I think, in part, and also how we can deal with it. But I did want to move on to this idea of last mile connectivity and whether you've actually seen a more concerted effort to invest in and improve bus services in particular.
Okay, yeah, I think this is very important because last mile will ensure people using public transport. And sometimes when we even invest on expensive infrastructure, if you do not cater for the last mile options, people will still not use it. And I think this is where in my earlier point, coordination between the public transport plan and also the local authority needs to come. Because the last mile is usually prepared and supplied by the local authority. So I think it's very important. But I think we should not be closing our options on last mile. Last mile includes pedestrian, walking. That's a good last mile. That's also, of course, feeder buses. And I think we should be looking at different models on that, you know. So again, it for every station of the public transport system, hierarchy public transport system like an LRT, we need to look at how the feeder service or how the last mile options are for all stations for people to be able to have access to the system.
And considering how long we've been having this conversation about last mile, it feels as if every single time, honestly, Prof, every time we speak to you, we bring it up, right? Mm-hmm. Are there complexities to the idea that makes it harder for Malaysia to execute well? What's really going on the ground level that prevents us from coming up with some sort of cohesive solution?
I think it is about reserving the corridors, you know, because public transport comes as an afterthought. It is in many cities of Malaysia at the moment, public transport is being brought much later than the car, the roads. Mm. So we are trying to squeeze in between what's left over. And I think this is the biggest problem. And that is the biggest challenge. And the longer we wait, we are going to run out of land space. I think this is where the priorities must be right. You know, we have been putting private transport first over public transport. So that has been reflected in our the network development plan, and therefore the land coverage that we provide for cars or private transport as opposed to public transport. So when this happens, whenever we introduce public transport infrastructure, it's already tough enough to find the right alignment. So when we are looking at the last mile options, we are again trying to find routes and alignment in between existing infrastructure and facilities. So, you know, you will solve issues of land. You know, you need to take over the land, and that will increase the cost. So a lot of this will actually hamper the proper planning of it, you know. Unfortunately, it will just worsen if we keep delaying, focusing on it. Unfortunately, for a new city or a new urban area that we have in the country, we also put private cars first. So again, we are going to face the same situation. So I think that is the fundamental problem, you know, and making local authorities finding it very tough to do so, and with dwindling will and difficulty in finding the right business model, of course, they would not prefer to promote public transport.
Mm. So overall then, what would you say is on your wish list for transportation policies now that we have seen, you know, the introduction of a new minister?
Okay, I think first we need to get the organisation right. Because without the organisation, we will not have a will, you know, a continuous will that will do the planning, the monitoring, and also the the regulating of public transport matters. Because it's a complex ecosystem. You know, it's not only the physical side, but it's also the operational side and the industry side. So I think that has to be done first. And I think the government need to reflect upon what has happened over the past 10 years and perhaps can judge our history in terms of the era or the period where our public transport in Malaysia has gone through the best time. And of course, to me, it was when SPAD was operational. I know maybe we should not go back to what we had, but the APAD Act is still active. I think the Ministry of Transport, having a minister that understands transportation, I think we should look at that first. Because without that, things will be done rather ad hocishly. And I think in public transport, we cannot afford to have that ad hoc thing. It has to be a plan that is over a period of time that takes into consideration all the changes that will happen, the challenges and all the other unpredictable elements that are, nowadays there are so many unpredictable elements, but I think that has to be looked into immediately if we were to change and commit to our sustainable goals that public transport can definitely help the country with.
And we just have 1 minute left, Prof, and I wanted to know, yeah, are you optimistic that at some point public transport is going to be the first option that Malaysians choose?
Yep, but with the right strategies. And I think we need to be bold enough to use now also the stick, and not only the carrot, but also the stick. I think we need to start looking into restraining measures. You know, we cannot accommodate try to provide everything that the private cars wants. Parking has to be more limited. And I think, we need, and of course, fuel strategies can also be used as a deterrent. But I know this is not popular. Politicians will not like it. Mm. But I think in order for us to be able to sustain ourselves, because definitely we will not be able to sustain ourselves with the current policies in terms of transportation, we definitely need to use, measures that will both encourage public transport but also deter people from using private transport.
Prof, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
That was Professor Dr. Ahmad Farhan Mohamad Sadullah, Professor of Transportation Engineering at USM. If you want to weigh in on public transport in the country, your experiences with it, how it could be improved, call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.